You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park, along with, as usual, the co-host and the producer of the Wobcast, Chris Corso. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Wobby? This is first off-season edition of the Wobcast this year.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of the last ones from Winter Park.
It's crazy. It's crazy we're moving out of this building.
Yeah.
I see that they started taking the TVs down in the lunchroom and stuff like that. And
Yeah,
it's... how many years has it been here for the Vikings?
I wish I knew the number. It's 40-something, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be strange. I mean, we go to the Combine February 26 or 7, we leave. And we come back March 5th. I'm going on a little vacay to Florida and coming back March like 11th, and I'm done at Winter Park.
It's crazy.
So really, when I go to the Combine, that's it for me.
That'll be it, because March 1st is the move-in date.
Yeah, right? And I'll be out of town.
Crazy.
So yeah, it's pretty nuts. The only place I've known in my time here at the Vikings, and most people in the building would say the same, and we'll be at Twin Cities Orthopedic Performance Center in Eagan, beginning in March. So when we are pursuing free agents and flying free agents in here to sign them and have press conferences and interviews and stuff in the studio, that'll be at TCO Performance Center in Eagan.
That'll definitely be an upgrade for the Vikings. That facility is going to look great. It will be different than the wooden panels on the walls here from the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this
stuff
was
like that.
This was cozy, intimate, and this was home.
That's for sure.
For a
I
long
love
time.
It here.
And we're going to move into something completely different. Hopefully we like it. A lot of people are very optimistic about it. So that's coming up. What's coming up on this episode of the Wobcast, though? We'll do a quick Super Bowl recap, take a look at the Vikings offseason calendar, a to-do list, take note of five players that experts are tying to the Vikings at number 30 in the first round of the draft, and we'll get into a few odds and ends. But first, some news and notes. The last vacancy... head coaching vacancy in the NFC North has been filled, Chris.
That's right. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, accepted the job with the Detroit Lions as their head coach earlier this week. That's obviously a big move for Detroit. They were still looking for that guy to fill that spot, and Matt Patricia was linked to them for a couple weeks now, and obviously they just finished up in the Super Bowl, and he's had a very successful defense over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Not as successful this past season, especially in the Super Bowl
right.
They were giving up 41 points, but he is Bill Belichick. Check's assistant for how many years now, and he's I think he's actually like an actual rocket scientist.
Yeah,
is always the articles you see out there on him. So yeah, Bill Belichick's right hand man will be playing us twice next year,
right.
He'll be with the Lions.
The connection there is the Lions general manager Bob Quinn came from the Patriots and took that job with the Lions, so no surprise that he goes after Matt Patricia. Josh McDaniels is going to be with the Indianapolis
He's
going to stay with the Patriots. That was crazy, wasn't it, this week?
That was unbelievable. Yeah. Obviously, it was McDaniels was linked to the Colts, and Patricia was linked to the Lions, and McDaniels did accept the offer with the Colts as the head coach, and then he said, no, I don't want to go, and obviously there's reports out there, and his deal was sweetened in New England. We don't know any of that, but he decided to stay with the Patriots.
Yeah. So. Vikings news last week during Super Bowl week. Randy Moss going into the Hall of Fame.
It's such an honor for a Viking to be heading to the Hall of Fame, especially the week that the NFL honors were here with the Super Bowl here. And he was obviously honored during the Super Bowl on the sideline alongside all the other Hall of Fame nominees.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's great. But you were in the building at the NFL honors.
I was, yeah.
The other night, on Saturday night.
Yep.
Can you kind of explain what that was like? You talked to so many current and former Vikings and Coach Zimmer, so what was that like?
It was cool. They had a red carpet entrance to the event for everyone, and so I was on the red carpet, and you know, Mike Zimmer, Mark Wilf, we talked to Matt Burke, Chris Carter, Case Keenum, they were all there. And then I talked to some other people that we didn't get on camera. Like I talked to Pat Shurmur, former, obviously, Vikings offensive coordinator, now Giants head coach. So, yeah, it was fun. The red carpet's got a little bit of a buzz to it. It's very glitzy and glamorous, you know. And then the actual program was super cool, hosted by Rob Riggle. And, you know, he's funny and cracking jokes. And the Vikings won an award for what was the name of the
2017 play of the year?
Yeah, it was play of the year, I think it was. I can't remember the sponsor that's tied to it, but obviously Keenum to Diggs was the whatever performance of the year, so that, or play of the year, so that was cool. You know, I thought all the awards were pretty predictable. Gurley offensive player of the year, Aaron Donald defensive player of the year, Brady MVP. The coach of the year was McVay. Like, all this was pretty. Alvin Kamara was rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. So, Marshawn Lattimore, I think, was defensive rookie of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, all pretty predictable, I thought. Man of the year, the NFL's man of the year was J.J. Watt for
That's
all
right.
the stuff he did in flood relief after the hurricane in Houston. So it was a really cool show. And but the peak of it for me was Randy Moss being part of the class of 2018 for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that would be super cool. I would imagine we'll go to Canton to cover that. You know, some faction of VEN will go there. I've done that 5 times. Randall McDaniel, John Randall, Chris Dolman, Chris Carter, and Mick Tinglehoff. Have gone in since I've been here with the Vikings. Now Randy Moss will go. So I really look forward to that type of event. Canton is really cool, and the NFL does a great job. The Pro Football Hall of Fame does a great job. So it'll be fun to watch Randy go in. Who knows? Maybe we'll play in the game again. We did a couple years ago when Mick went in.
That's right.
Maybe we'll play in it this year and have an extra preseason game. Although, you know, I would say Vikings fans are going to come in droves to watch Moss go in. So if I was a Pro Football Hall of Fame, I wouldn't have the Vikings play in the game.
Because they're going to come anyway.
Because they're coming anyway.
Yeah.
So I put 2 other teams in there and get those teams' fans as well as the Vikings fans. But that'll be really cool. That'll be the first weekend of August in Canton, Ohio, when Randy Moss goes in. As you've noted here, the first wide receiver to go in as a first ballot guy since?
Jerry Rice.
He was pretty good.
I think that's pretty good company to be in.
Yeah, I'd say. Pretty good, yeah. Also members of that class, Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, T.O., Brazil, Jerry Kramer, and I think that's it, right? Oh, Bobby Bethard.
That's right.
And,
GM of the Redskins.
Brian Dawkins.
Yep.
That's everyone. So pretty good class. That's a good-looking class. Some modern day, some contemporary members of the class there with Ray Lewis and Urlacher and Dawkins and Moss and T.O. So
I really like that Terrell Owens got in as well.
Yeah.
I have to note that because he was right up there, probably right below Randy Moss, but
yeah.
Man, was he good. I know he had all the off-the-field, on-the-field stuff going on, but he is one of the best to play that position. So.
No doubt about it.
We talk about something that we don't love to talk about, but we're going to do a quick recap, and we're going to make it very quick of the Super Bowl game.
Of the Super Bowl that was played in our stadium, but that we didn't play in.
Yeah.
Right.
We were there. You were there as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there.
What was your role on game day?
It was Ryan Cardinal and I who were working the in-stadium app. Down and distance, play-by-play, score, all that stuff. So
cool.
I was up in the control room in the stadium, eyes on the game, saw every play. It was a pretty cool experience. The Super Bowl is awesome, man. I was so impressed with Super Bowl week in Minnesota and all the events and the buzz and the energy and the atmosphere, and then the game was awesome. I mean, I was kind of assuming Minnesota, this would be it for them for Super Bowls. Like, we're going to get one last hurrah because we built a stadium. I think the NFL would be wise to come back here.
I agree, and we had an article on Vikings.com this week. Obviously, our team president and owner, Mark Wilf, thanked the fans, so we made a note of that, and he thanked all the volunteers and all the people who made this Super Bowl possible. And then we kind of looked at some of the media, the national media, and some prominent names out there who were like, they couldn't believe it. They were like, Minnesota Nice is a thing. What an amazing host Minnesota was. And that article really blew up on the site this week. And it's still doing really well because people have so much pride in this state. And obviously it's not one of the states you look at and you're like, it's one of the big cities in the country. But there's so much to do here and so much good here in Minnesota. And I think that was really put on display on one of the biggest stages with the Super Bowl. And looking at the game, I mean, 505 yards for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
The team did not punt once.
Can someone play some defense for us?
And they lose. I mean, it's and you're right. There wasn't much defense. I think if the Vikings were in the game, it would have been a totally different game just because you'll have a defense. But
went to the Super Bowl and an arena football league game broke out.
It was
out.
Unbelievable. 41-33 was the final score. It's the highest scoring and highest offensive game
in
yards wise
history.
In Super Bowl history. So we saw history, which was great. Malcolm Butler.
Hello.
The starting cornerback for the New England Patriots.
Just didn't play.
Bill Belichick decided that he didn't want to play Malcolm Butler in the game.
I'd say that probably made a difference in a 41-33 game.
I would say so, especially when you have Alshon Jeffrey running routes up the field. Zach Ertz was unstoppable on crossing routes across the field. Torrey Smith, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, the amount of wide receivers they had out there, I just find it pretty amazing that one of your top corners or second best corner, whatever it is, doesn't play at all. Obviously, there are some rumors out there with some reasons why, but man, that is crazy.
What'd you think about JT?
So I am personally a huge Justin Timberlake fan.
Yeah.
And I've been for a long time.
Cool.
That was the first time I saw him live, and I thought he was amazing. I thought he nailed it. I've heard some people who don't think he was as good as they thought he was going to be.
Wow. I thought it was great. I thought it was spectacular.
I mean, what more? I mean,
I thought the presentation was awesome. The color was good. The, like, just bright colors and
unbelievable.
The Prince tribute was obviously super cool, especially for Minnesotans. I mean, what more do you want?
I think he, if we were giving him a grade, I would give him a 100 on the performance.
Yeah,
I thought he was
awesome.
Spectacular. So.
Yeah, he was awesome. So don't hate. If you don't like it, stop hating.
Yeah, my girlfriend was like, oh, I didn't like his outfits. And I was like, what?
Okay. All right, whatever.
For me, that was the best part of the night. So.
Well, I mean, your girlfriend's awesome, so I respect her opinion, but like, I don't care about his outfits. I care about how it sounds and looks.
100%. And he does it all. So.
All right,
we're moving on.
Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, we were a great host for the Super Bowl here in Minnesota, but now we will move on, and that's where Vikings fans are looking, and that's towards the future. There's an off-season to-do list going forward. We started off with talking about moving to the new facility in Eagan. That's the first thing on the list, but there's also a couple of other things that the Vikings management and Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer are looking to do in these next couple of weeks, this week, going forward. So you had a good article on Vikings.com this week kind of outlining the to-do list. So let's go over a couple of those things that we need to do to keep moving up.
Yeah, and these are ideas for them. This is us not telling them what they should do. We think they pretty much know what they're doing. I mean,
absolutely.
Zimmer's gone 11-5 and won a division. He went 13-3 and won a division here. So I mean, he knows what he's doing. But this is just for some fodder, some conversation. So we can go over a couple of these. Which ones do you want to go? What do you want to start with?
I think we're not going to start with the first one on this list here because I think that's the best one on the list.
So we'll save it for last?
I think we saved that one for last.
Okay.
I think a big topic of this offseason that not many people are thinking about is that defensive line three technique spot. That's going to be a position that's definitely important for this team and one where we can build and fortify through the draft or free agency or wherever. So, yeah, what do you think?
I like the idea of taking the strength of your team and trying to make it stronger.
Absolutely.
And build and enhance your identity. You know, because it's the off season, all the conversation is about what wasn't good and how do we make it better. And that's good. You need to do that. But I think you also want to be like, this is what we do better than like everyone else, and we're going to keep it that way. And I think for the heart of that for the Vikings is their defensive line. It's their defense, and then the heart of that is the defensive line. We're really good up front with the starting four, I think, but we can be better. And the way I think you can be better is by increasing the depth that you have and maybe upgrading at one spot, and that is three technique. Not because Tom Johnson needs to be upgraded, but because Tom Johnson will be a better player if he's not having to play 60 snaps a game. I mean, the Vikings asked a lot of Tom Johnson this season, and he delivered. But you want to have Tom Johnson here for seasons to come. You don't want to grind him down to a nub, you know, in one or two seasons. So I think you add a three technique, you add another defensive end or two, you continue to develop Stephen Weatherly, you continue to develop Tashawn Bower, you add one or two in the draft or free agency. I just think you fortify what you already have at the defensive line. I think that would really help this defense. I think it would help the defense sustain success for 2018 and for the long term.
Absolutely. And one area that could be done is free agency. And looking at some of the names that the Vikings have to soon-to-be free agents on the list, we'll have the free agent tracker and everything going on Vikings.com when that time comes. But looking at some of the names, Tom Johnson, as you mentioned, Jerick McKinnon at running back, Terrence Newman, who already said that he wants to come back and play corner again next year for the Vikings. And obviously the three quarterbacks who took snaps for the Vikings last year, and Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, and Teddy Bridgewater, all soon to be free agents. So that'll definitely be one on the list.
Yeah. Sometimes the best free agent signings are re-signings, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know in baseball, a saying is sometimes the best trades you make are the trades you don't make, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think in football, some of the best signings you can do are to keep your own guys. The Vikings started doing that last summer. They've been doing that under Rick Spielman the whole time. But they really, when it comes to this core of players on defense, they really hit a home run last offseason, right before camp, right as we were getting to camp. When they locked up, you know, they extended Everson Griffin, they extended Xavier Rhodes, they extended Harrison Smith prior to that.
Yep.
So, you know, that's something for them to look at, not only the guys who are coming up this season to be free agents, but maybe the guys who are coming up in two off seasons to be free agents. You kind of look at extending the contracts of those players, perhaps. And if you do it that way, you can structure it in a way where you can spread out cap hits to different years for different guys so that you're not in bad cap shape in any one single year. You're kind of spreading out. You're spreading out the vulnerability throughout 4 or 5 years, and then you're never in bad shape for one single season. So I think before we get to, like, who's on the free agent market, who are we going to sign, let's figure out who are we going to re-sign, who are we going to keep, and then we'll figure out where the holes are.
For sure. And then obviously looking at the main position on offense, and that's the quarterback decision that has to be made. It's all over the place. We know that it's a very tough decision, but there's some free agents out there as well at quarterback position, but we have three good ones that took snaps for us last year. So that'll be another decision for the Vikings to make there with free agency.
Right.
But we're going to look at a positive, and that's number four on this list, and that's to get hyped about Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
We only got a quick look at him last year, and man, was he great in those first few games as a Viking, and goes down in that the fourth regular season game against Detroit at home at US Bank Stadium, and he lost a fumble on that play as well. So that was a tough way to go down right at the beginning of his rookie season. And then now look, he's going through his rehab. He's doing great, and there's nothing but positive signs for Dalvin Cook, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, for sure, and this is something that whoever the Vikings hire as the offensive coordinator, whoever the quarterback is going to end up being, like, Dalvin Cook's return is good for both those guys, you know, and the rest of the team, and you know, it's awesome what we did on offense without him. So now what can we do with him? You know,
great.
And I remember talking, you know, when the Vikings were going to play the Atlanta Falcons this year, Devonta Freeman, you know, was kind of coming back from an injury where he was out, I think, for two or three games before our game.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it is good for Atlanta that he's coming back. I'd rather not play him. But, you know, they are going to have to figure out, because they had won all those games without him. So now they're going to have to figure out how to still be good, but put Devonta Freeman back in, right? And not ruin their flow. So the Vikings are going to have to do that. The good news for the Vikings is they have all offseason to figure it out.
Which is
and
great.
Training camp and the preseason. So it's going to be really fun to watch him run. He's vowed to come back better than ever. ACLs are still serious knee injuries, obviously, but I think the technology and the human body is getting to the point where it's able to come back from them a lot better than 20 years ago. So, you know, I expect a good season from Dalvin. I'm sure it's still one of those injuries where you don't get all of your juice back until 2 years removed from it. So I don't think we'll see the true Dalvin Cook that we will end up seeing throughout his career next year, but I think we're going to see a really good Dalvin Cook, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that'll definitely be exciting. Mike Zimmer went on record saying that, man, he definitely would have helped us if he stayed healthy throughout the year in his end of the season press conference, so we're excited about that. Now, we're going to look forward to the NFL draft, which is awesome because we have the 30th pick and there's a lot of interesting players that some of the experts are tying us to at that 30th pick when we go to pick on Thursday, April 26th in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. So we're going to take a look at some of the players in college and some of the experts, some of the top names from ESPN, Yahoo Sports, Bleacher Report, and all that. So we're going to start with a tackle.
Okay.
And he's a tackle out of Notre Dame, Mike McGlinchey, who's been some of the first mock drafts had him being taken in the top 10.
Wow.
And now they have him down to 30 at our spot, which seems like really good value out of a tackle out of Notre Dame. So, I've seen a little bit of him play. I've watched a little film since we saw his name on Todd McShay and NFL.com Lance Zierlein's list yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's a big size tackle, and it definitely would strengthen the outside for the running game and for the pass protection with Remmers and Riley Reiff, who Remmers spent some time at guard this year, so it would be nice to obviously have some depth at that tackle position. So that's what I see out of Mike McGlinchey.
Yep, I see it the same way. And I'm not against the Vikings taking an offensive lineman in the first round. I'm not against them paying big money on free agency for an offensive lineman. I know that they invested heavily in it last offseason, so you might say go to a different area this offseason. I'm saying double down. I mean, you saw so much improvement on offense last year, and a big reason for it was the offensive line was healthy and good. So, I mean, look at the Eagles. They've invested heavily in their offensive line. They won the Super Bowl.
It paid off.
Yeah, so just keep going, man. You had a great offseason along the offensive line last year. Keep going. So if they take a tackle, if they take this kid from Notre Dame in the first round, sounds good to me.
And the next one's from ESPN's Mel Kiper. He's got us taking a tackle as well. And this is a different player. His name's Connor Williams out of Texas. He plays the tackle position. He's done some work at left tackle as well as right tackle. He had a big injury in college and didn't play many games last year, but he has the size and strength as one of the top tackles in the draft to be a NFL ready kind of tackle coming out of a big school in Texas. So that's Connor Williams. Same sort of thing though, a tackle who will add depth to the offensive line.
Yep, and I think it's the same talking points as with McGlinchey, you know. So we're sort of, I know we're bringing up specific names here, but we're sort of talking in theory right now about positions at 30 because we haven't even been to the combine yet, pro days, tape study, all that has not happened. It's happening for NFL teams, but for those of us who are talking about it and wondering about it and on the outside, you know, this is all theory with positions. I'd be cool with an offensive lineman, guard or tackle, in the draft in the first round.
Absolutely. There's another offensive tackle linked from Bleacher Report's Matt Miller. He believes that Colton Miller out of UCLA, another big tackle, would
another
be
another UCLA Bruin, huh?
Yeah, which we have a few in linebackers, and our long snapper Kevin McDermott as well is from UCLA. Kai Forbath is from UCLA, so we have a lot of Bruins here.
Assistant GM George Payton.
That's right.
UCLA.
A lot of Bruins, so that's definitely a cool guy to look at as well, Colton Miller out of UCLA. But there are some other positions that a couple of experts have us going. And one we've noted, and that's defensive end. That's adding to the pass rush here. And it's another LSU player.
Yeah.
Arden Key is from, NFL.com's Daniel Jeremiah likes us taking Arden Key at the 30th pick.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah says, Key could drop because of off-field issues as well as an inconsistent fall. However, his upside is outrageous, and Mike Zimmer would be the right coach to help him reach that level. Of course, Andre Patterson and Robert Rodriguez have had great success with young defensive linemen here under head coach Mike Zimmer. You want to give him another raw, talented player? Sounds good to me.
Especially one out of LSU when we saw the way Danielle Hunter developed.
Right. And we kind of like Tashaun Bower, too. Absolutely. He's from LSU. So Here we go. We can keep going with that.
And then one more we're going to look at, number the fifth player here, and it's Daron Payne, and that's that defensive tackle spot out of Alabama. This is NFL.com's Bucky Brooks. The Vikings could fall to the best player available premise and add a rock-solid interior defender to the rotation, which is exactly what you touched on before.
Yeah, and I'd be cool with this. Now, this guy, he had a good game in the title game, right?
Yeah, he did. Oh, he's a run stopper. Yeah. He can get to the quarterback. He can do it all.
You know, the whole best player available thing, I think some fans, especially fans who follow it every year and kind of can read between the lines, they know that it's teams don't always take the best player, like literally the best player available, right? I mean, because if you're the Packers and you have Aaron Rodgers and the best player on your board is a quarterback and you're in the first round, yep. You might not take that guy. But so I don't think you should take that literally as like the single best player available. What you do is you look at your board and you look at the five or six positions you want to address, and it's the best player in those five or six positions.
Yeah.
Is really what it is. For the Vikings, that very well could be a defensive end or a defensive tackle. I mean, I know that we were good on defense and all that, but they could take a defensive lineman at number 30. And if they ended up with this kid from Alabama, I'd be fine with that. Or this kid from LSU that we talked about, I'd be fine with that too. You know, I think when you're at 30, it's not drafting for need, because except in rare circumstances, you're probably, when you're picking the 30th best player, you're probably not getting an impact starter. You know, unless it's just a unique situation. So just get some depth. You know, get a guy who in 2 or 3 years can be a starter and be good for you. You know, and think of it that way. Don't think of it as like plugging a need. So if you're someone who really wants the Vikings to get a starting three technique, you know, I think you're looking at free agency.
Yeah,
for that. You know what
sure.
I mean? Now, maybe on the offensive line, you can get a starter at 30, especially if it's one of those tackles. You slide Remmers into guard.
And we saw the Vikings do that last year with Pat Elflein, who played like an all-star at center. So
it's going to be interesting. I mean, this is a fun time of year. Obviously, we're bummed out about how the season ended, but that you got to get that. That's over. The Super Bowl is over. No more excuses to be dwelling on what happened in Philadelphia. It's all about 2018 right now.
That's right.
And, you know, the next big step in that is the Combine coming up at the end of this month, where obviously we will be there giving everyone wall-to-wall coverage of the Combine. And then right when we get back from the Combine, it's basically free agency. That starts on March 14th.
Not much of an off-season this
year. No, there isn't. It's it's pretty condensed, consolidated for us, having hosted the Super Bowl, having made a deep playoff run and then hosting the Super Bowl, getting right into this off-season calendar. So should be a lot of fun coming up.
That's for sure.
All righty, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Wobcast. We will have fan questions for you next week, so make sure you send them in to the normal email address. If you don't know what it is, go to the Monday Morning Mailbag, read that article, find the email address, and send us a question, and maybe you can be involved in next week's Wobcast. On behalf of co-host and producer Chris Corso, I'm your host, Wobby, signing off for now. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Yeah!